This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Prediction time right now on Fantasy Football Today on July 1st. Happy July, Dave and Heath.
We are in the month where training camp begins.
Yay.
Adam, you need more excitement. It's been a mostly boring offseason.
I like that.
I'm looking forward. Well, I mean, we had time to relax, but I'm looking forward to training camp starting, the stuff really flying, football coming back. You can smell the freshly cut grass. I'm ready for this.
Yes.
Let's go.
You can smell the freshly cut grass at all of the soccer games around the country in stadiums that put down freshly cut grass. So first bold prediction, United States wins tonight, advances to the semifinals eventually of the World Cup. That's my first bold prediction. USA semifinals. Heath, I know you're fired up for the game.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you added the semifinals portion because the United States are enormous, or at least large, favorites in this game. So saying they're going to win tonight is definitely not a bold prediction.
Looking at the spreads of these soccer games, being a plus, Bosnia is plus 688. That's not even like that high. Some of them have been insane.
Right. But I just, unless France or Argentina is playing, I think I'd like to just take those odds because who knows? One ball might squeak in.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay. Anyway, we got just one news item that I know of and an amazing stat that doesn't matter. And then bold predictions on Zay Flowers, Bajal Touton, David Montgomery, and more. News, injury news and note. Patrick Mahomes is trending toward being ready for 11-on-11 work at the beginning of training camp, according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. So a lot of injured players are trending in the right direction. It's good stuff, and Mahomes is one of them.
I'm curious if there's going to be an ADP bump once Mahomes is actually practicing without the injury jersey, full 11, all that stuff. I don't know how many people are worried about Mahomes missing week one. I'm not. I'm ranking him as if he's playing 17.
He's QB 13 right now in average draft position. You think he'll move up?
Probably.
He's currently behind Tyler Shuck in our fans only ADP. That's crazy.
That's CBS.
Yes, I think he will move up.
I mean, the big question for me is not whether he misses week one. It's whether, as we've seen from Justin Herbert, from Trevor Lawrence, from Joe Burrow, others, whether the rushing decreases because that kept him afloat last year or made him great last year, actually. It was rude to say it kept him afloat. He was QB2 before he got hurt.
Yeah. I mean, we would have expected the rushing to decrease either way.
You know? But it could crater.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. CBS Sports HQ is your hub for everything that's going on in the world of sports right now, tennis, golf, soccer, NBA free agency, NFL training camps opening up. As a Yankees fan, I don't want to watch anything about baseball right now. But if you are interested in baseball and anything else, CBS Sports HQ, it's on the CBS Sports app. Yeah, go White Sox. Well,
White Sox fans are very interested in baseball right now.
We can all be honorary White Sox fans. Here's an amazing stat that doesn't matter.
We need fans.
Heath is going to talk about Sam Laporta today. So as I was looking at the points per game leaders at tight end, Darren Waller was the number 7 tight end per game last year, despite playing 45% of the snaps in the games he played in. Darren Waller averaged as many yards per out run as Trey McBride, and he had the highest ADOT among all tight ends with 30 or more targets. Just a quick little shout out to Darren Waller, Heath.
Good job, Darren Waller. Doesn't matter at all.
There we go. Darren Waller. And he wasn't really that bad when he was with the Giants a few years ago. So if he resurfaces at any point, you never know. Tight end premium. Okay, bold predictions. Dave, you're going to start it off with a David Montgomery. Dave always does a bold prediction about someone named Dave or David.
I do?
Unbelievable.
No.
You'd probably not. But this one is about David Montgomery. What do we got?
David Montgomery pulls a Joe Mixon and has one last big year. And I don't know if you remember Joe Mixon's 2024 with Houston, but he was a top 10 fantasy running back regardless of format. David Montgomery matches it. I took a second look at him recently. I recognize that the only number that he really went down in last year was touches per game. His efficiency was still good, at least in line with where it was over the two seasons prior. And now he's going to Houston. I don't think he's got major competition for carries. I certainly know he's got zero competition for goal line work. And this is a team that's pretty conservative offensively, not going to throw the ball around a ton. One of the best defenses in the NFL. There's going to be a lot of favorable game scripts for a running back like David Montgomery to get a lot of work over the course of the season. He's not a bad pass catcher. I'm not going to draft him for his pass catching acumen, but I am going to draft him expecting double digit touchdowns. And I think he'll be an efficient runner. This will be his last big year. I can't remember the last time I was this excited to draft David Montgomery. I moved him up in my rankings, and he's somebody I'm targeting in that RB2 range, but I think he's got potential to finish as a top 10 running back.
I just hope he doesn't have a Joe Mixon age 29 season.
I don't think that's possible at this point. Well, I guess it could be, right? He could get hurt away from the team, hide the injury, not tell the team about it, and then not work hard to rehab and come back from it. So I suppose that's possible. That seems like maybe like a 0.5% chance of happening.
I don't know if he'll get 18 touches per game, David Montgomery, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility, right?
18. Yes.
So over the last three seasons, there have been exactly 12 running backs each year that have had 18 touches per game with a minimum of 8 games. And only 3 of those 36 running backs finished outside the top 20 per game. And right now, Montgomery's ADP is RB20. So pretty good ADP and pretty good chance of him getting all that work and maybe not winning you your league, but at least being steady enough to be a top 20 running back.
One last thing. Look at the Texans' schedule and tell me how many really tough run defenses they have on their schedule this year. And if you ask me, it's a damn good schedule. It's just another factor that helps sell me on David Montgomery.
I do have a little bit of trouble projecting him for 18 touches a game.
Yeah.
Just because, and it's not like he didn't receive that work because he wasn't good the last few years. He was obviously sharing with Jahmyr Gibbs, but we are talking about a 29-year-old running back that hasn't had that much work since he was 24.
It's true.
I kind of like it.
The Texans,
because he hasn't had that kind of work since he was 24.
That's a good point too. The Texans offensive line, according to ESPN, was the worst run blocking unit in the NFL. It's very different this year. Probably.
I don't know if it's that much better though, Adam,
right.
Just to point out, like if there was a drawback to everything that I said about Montgomery, it is the offensive line. At best, it's solid on paper and certainly unproven across the board to be good. So can it be better than it was last year? Yeah, but that just might mean they're like right around league average.
I thought I hated David Montgomery, but Sportsline really hates David Montgomery.
33rd, wow, at running back. All right, yeah, Joe Mixon with Houston in 2024, he only averaged 4.1 yards per carry, but he got like every important touch for that team for the 14 games he stayed healthy and was, would you say top 10, running RB10 or something?
He was at least RB10 in every format.
All right, let's stick with Dave. Your second bold prediction is about Isaiah Likely. He finishes as what?
I told you that he finishes a top 6 tight end, and I don't know if that's bold enough. So let's say he finishes as a top 4 tight end. Leads the Giants in targets, catches, yards, and touchdowns. Just completely takes the leap that we've been hoping for him to have. He's in an offense that might not throw as much as we want them to, but if Malik Nabers isn't Malik Nabers and the rest of that receiving core isn't particularly great, this is going to be the player that Jackson Dart leans on. And we've seen it from him. It's a real small sample size in his career. Isaiah Likely's had 9 games in his career with at least 6 targets. Okay, 9 games, 6 targets. He has 12.5 PPR points in 8 of those 9 games. Mm. That's in Baltimore. It's with a better quarterback for most of those games. and Dart in the second year. I just think he's going to need somebody in the short area to lean on. Likely has yards after catch ability. And I just think that we see a completely different role for him. Last point, Matt Nagy is the play caller now in New York. When he was the play caller in Chicago, he brought in a tight end named Trey Burton. And Trey Burton wasn't necessarily great for fantasy. I think he averaged like 9.2 PPR points per game. And he only had 4.8 targets per game. But it's kind of the same role that likely he'll have. And I think it's going to be a bigger role than what Trey Burton had. Trey Burton just had an okay role. I think likely ends up having a much bigger role. This is a tight end that you asked me yesterday, is there a tight end you're targeting? This is the one that I'm targeting outside of just getting one at a good value. If I can get Isaiah Likely, I've done a 180 on him. If I can get Isaiah Likely, let's call it round 9, round 10, or even later, I'm a happy man.
I feel like I'm 2/3 of a way to the Dave Richard tight end trifecta. Because we've got him to turn around on Sam Laporta. We've got him to turn around on Isaiah Likely. We just got to push Kyle Pitts through.
Oh, that's not happening.
It'll be the greatest offseason of my life.
That's not happening unless something happens to Drake London. If Drake London gets hurt or something like that, then yes, of course.
Okay. All right. Heath, any thoughts on Isaiah Likely being a top 4 tight end?
Yeah, I've got him 6th in my projections right now. I agree with Dave. We had to push that up to make it a little bit more. I think, listen, some of it's going to come down to how healthy Malik Nabers is and how often they actually throw the football. But I expect him to be 2nd on the team in targets. I've got him projected for 112. He's been very efficient. I think we saw that Jackson Dart is very willing to throw the ball to his tight ends.
Oh, yeah.
Pops asks in the chat, Theo Johnson. Oh, Adam tried to hit it at the same time I did.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring this point up. I think Theo Johnson could wreck the plans for Isaiah Likely a little bit.
Maybe. I don't.
There could be a couple of touchdowns that go Theo Johnson.
Yeah, he could score some touchdowns. Yeah.
They're not the same type. They're both tight ends, but they're not the same type of tight ends.
Well, and they already had Theo Johnson, and they chose to go spend that money on Isaiah Likely also.
Yeah. And tight end is a position where guys can have late breakouts after really not doing much. Jonnu Smith, it was only 1 year. David Njoku had basically 3 good years after not doing much. So it's just all about opportunity. He's got the opportunity.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth. Jackson Dart, 22.8% target rate to tight ends last year. Believe it or not, that was below average among qualifying quarterbacks, but that's still pretty good when you're looking for a player to get some decent volume. So if they throw, I mean, to do the math, if they throw 550 times, 22% of that, it's not bad. It's not a bad target share for our guy Likely.
That may be exactly what I have projected.
Right. And you obviously have to give some targets to Theo Johnson.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a break. We have another tight end bold prediction when we come back from Heath Cummings. And if you in the chat have any bold predictions, we'll read those at the end of the show. We'll be right back on FFT. Yep. And we welcome you back here to Fantasy Football Today. All right. Heath has 2 bold predictions. This one is a tight end prediction. I wonder, is this more about the first one that you're going to mention or the second one in the sentence? Go ahead.
It's about both. Sam Laporta will outscore Trey McBride this season.
Gas.
The guy who gained Drew Petzig versus the guy who lost Drew Petzig. And that's not entirely what it's about. But I do think this is interesting. If you look at the career averages of Sam Laporta on a per target basis versus the career bests for Trey McBride on a per target basis, Sam Laporta has averaged 8.3 yards per target for his career. Trey McBride has averaged his best season, 7.8 yards per target. Sam Laporta has a 7.9% career touchdown rate. Trey McBride last year, his best season, 6.5% touchdown rate. Sam Laporta has averaged 2.05 fantasy points per target. Trey McBride's best season, 1.87 fantasy points per target. Sam Laporta has been undeniably better than Trey McBride on a per target basis. The difference has been Trey McBride has been in this tight end centric offense. Sam Laporta has not. And so Trey McBride scored more fantasy points. Now the guy who was running Trey McBride's offense is running Sam LaPorta's offense. And yes, he has Amon Ross St. Brown and Jamison Williams. Last year, there were 391 snaps where Amon Ross St. Brown, Sam LaPorta, and Jamison Williams were all on the field. Sam LaPorta had a 20.7% target rate.
Target share?
With what?
Target share or target per
target,
route?
Target share.
Okay.
Target share. It's target per route runs pretty similar to target share when you're just using the plays where they're on the field. Yeah. Not entirely the same because he blocks sometimes, occasionally. That's 20.7% without Drew Petzig calling plays. Now, maybe Drew Petzig doesn't matter at all. Maybe it's exactly the same. But even a small boost to those numbers, and you are looking at a massive season for Sam LaPorta. Jared Goff's averaged 574 pass attempts over the last three seasons. Drew Petzig's offense has averaged 591. If you just look at my projections, 581, kind of right in the middle of those. A 21% target share, which is basically what he had last year when he was on the field, is 122 targets. A 22% is 128 targets. I don't think that's the ceiling. It's pretty easy to calculate how many fantasy points he would score because he's averaged almost exactly two fantasy points per target. 128 targets times two, it's 15 fantasy points per game.
Well, he was only on pace for 93 targets last year, so they're going to have to throw a lot more.
They're going to have to throw a lot more than they did during the period of time when early in the season.
Yeah.
And you've talked about it, like when their defense hasn't been as good, they've thrown more. I don't think this has been a very good offseason for the Detroit Lions defense.
Well, I was just reading about Terrion Arnold, and look, he's an important player for them because he's a starting cornerback, but he's actually been a pretty big bust. He hasn't been that good. But he's still, I mean, look, losing a starting cornerback is a big deal, but they didn't lose a Pro Bowler or anything like that.
Didn't they lose two starting corners?
No, both of their starting safeties are questionable to start the season.
Is Amik Robertson back?
No, he's gone too. DJ Reed was their corner opposite Terrion Arnold.
Amik Robertson led the team in passes defense last year by a pretty good margin. He's gone. Alec Anzalone was second in tackles, second in passes defense. He's gone.
Yeah. I don't think either of those losses move the meter for me on the Lions defense. I actually like the nickel that they got to come in and play Roger McCrary. He was great in Tennessee. He was okay in LA, and now he's there. Malcolm Rodriguez has been a good like backup linebacker sort of for them, and now he'll take over a lot of the Anzalone role at weak side. I don't like – they didn't really make a lot of moves to help their pass rush. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson being awesome. They drafted Derek Moore. They brought in DJ Wanham. All this still points to the same conclusion, though, which is that the Lions' defense isn't particularly better than it was last year, and that could open the door for some more high-scoring games.
Yeah, all right. Look, I think you made a pretty good case for Sam LaPorta. Whether he outscores McBride or not, it's a really good case. Your next one is about...
Hold on. I think it's a great case for LaPorta's efficiency, and you've sold me a while ago now, but you've sold me on Sam LaPorta being a good draft pick. I just want to point out that there's a more than four target per game difference between LaPorta and McBride over the past two seasons. And do I think that'll shrink a little bit this year? Of course, because Petzing going to Detroit, the Lions want to use multiple tight end formations. It should lead to more targets for LaPorta. And I do think that it's tough to expect nine targets per game for Trey McBride moving forward. But I think the gap might fall to 2.5 targets per game. And that would still put LaPorta around six and a half targets per game. That's awesome. But I don't know if that means that he can even come close to being, he could be a top three tight end.
Okay. Anything else?
Sam LaPorta's mustache is cool.
I like it.
Yeah. The other thing I just want to talk about, like, does playing a multiple tight end set lead to more tight end targets? Because I think what Ryan Heath would argue is that it leads to more wide receiver targets.
I think what Ryan Heath would argue is that it leads to more efficient wide receivers on their targets.
Well, here are the teams that played the most two tight end sets last year. There's going to be some heavily targeted teams and tight end teams and some that aren't. The Browns, Ravens, Seahawks, Falcons, Cardinals, Bears, Raiders, Packers, Steelers, you know, now we're at nine. At the bottom, we have the Rams. Like, these are the lowest tight end, two tight end set teams. Rams, although the Rams actually played the most three tight end sets, so.
Yeah, you've got to make it.
You know what? I should have sorted it by two plus tight ends. I'm sorry. Brown, it's going to be similar. Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Cardinals, Falcons, Bears. That's your top six. Good tight end. I mean, you got Fannin, you got McBride, you got Pitts. Loveland, but they didn't really throw to their tight ends all that much, did they? I mean, the Bears. And then at the bottom, you have the Texans, Chargers, Niners, Dolphins, Jets, Saints. I actually would say this is pretty good evidence that playing more than, well, at least 1 year of evidence, playing two or more tight ends will lead to more tight end targets, with Kittle being the exception there because the 49ers rarely did it.
Loveland averaged seven targets per game from week seven on last year.
As a team, they didn't throw to the tight end that much.
They had 136 tight end targets last year.
Is that a lot?
I would say, like, I haven't got my, I've been working on my opportunity index that makes it easier to compare that, but I would say it's probably close to average.
On the subject of the coaching, I think this is going to be a great test, because if Stefanski and Petzing are maybe, for the people like me who are more on the it's about players, not about coaches side, this is hard to ignore their history. But Petzing has been an offensive coordinator for three seasons, and Trey McBride's been his best player. Yeah. So Stefanski, I think maybe I could see it a little bit more.
Does it, you don't really care that before Petzing was an offensive coordinator for three seasons, he was with Kevin Stefanski for 10 seasons.
No, I do. And they're going to want to use a tight end. It's just Kevin Stefanski has never had Amon-Ra St. Brown or Petzing have never had Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams. Now, maybe you just don't think Jamison Williams is going to do much.
I think more it's like we're acting. I don't want to act like these coaches are going to use these bums at tight end because they always throw to tight ends. They went to places where they have very talented tight ends.
Yeah, for sure. But I also remember this hubbub about Kellen Moore and his slot receivers. And who was his slot receiver in Philadelphia? It was Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith had a Devontae Smith type of season with him. AJ Brown had a 27.3%. target per out run rate. Dave, I gave you another example we were talking about it the other day of like, you could even say Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson and his slot guy. I'm on Ross St. Brown. Ben Johnson and his slot guy. Who did I say led the team in slot routes last year? It was Olamide Zaccheaus, I think.
Yeah, he was awful.
So it's, I don't know. It's about players to me. But I'm not ignoring it because this is really, I think, one of the most compelling coaching arguments you can make. But if it doesn't work out, then I think it will further embolden me next year to be like,
yeah, I don't, again, I think the vast majority of my argument for Sam LaPorta was a bit about how awesome he's been on a per target basis. And that even a small boost in targets, I don't expect him to have a 30% target share like Trey McBride.
No,
but I do think he has a higher target rate this year.
What do you make of the back injury?
That will be concerning to me if we get to training camp and he's not healthy.
All right, next bold prediction is actually someone else. Scooped you here. Where is it? Oh, there was someone had a Zay Flowers. I think it was Zay Flowers would be a top five wide receiver. Bold prediction in our chat. By the way,
don't give Gridiron Gamer the credit they deserve.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't see it. Gridiron Gamer says Flowers will be a top five tight end. If you want to comment live in the chat, great. If you're not watching live and you're on YouTube and you want to comment in the comments section, give us bold predictions there. But what is your Zay Flowers bold prediction?
Zay Flowers will score 10 touchdowns and be a top five wide receiver. So I one-upped you a little bit, Gridiron Gamer. I talked about the first part of this on a past show, I think. This fact that every year we have a wide receiver who doesn't score touchdowns, who all of a sudden scores touchdowns. Last year it was Chris Olave. had a 3.3% career touchdown rate going into last year, scored 9 touchdowns on 156 targets. The year before, it was Terry McLaurin, had a 4.1% touchdown rate going into that year, scored 13 touchdowns on 117. 2023, we actually had two of those guys. Cortland Sutton, we think of him as like, has always been a touchdown scorer. He had 14 touchdowns on 421 career targets before 2023, and then he scored 10 touchdowns on 90 targets. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a 4.2% touchdown rate his first two seasons, and now all of a sudden, now he just scores touchdowns every year. And I think your comeback was pretty good. It's like, yeah, but Zay Flowers is this little guy, and he doesn't get targeted in the red zone. So I did find a couple of guys who are very similarly sized to Zay Flowers, who had a similar touchdown breakout about this point in their career. Tyler Lockett had a 4.4% touchdown rate his first three seasons, had 10 touchdowns on 70 targets the next year. And then this one's going to really probably get you mad, but I think he might be closer to this guy in terms of fantasy production the next 5 years than Tyler Lockett. Antonio Brown had a 3.6% touchdown rate on his first 416 targets and then scored 13 touchdowns in a season. Zay Flowers has arrived as an elite wide receiver and the clear target hog in Baltimore. He just needs the touchdowns to be an elite fantasy football wide receiver. This is the year.
And, you know, you could have just gone with Marquise Brown, by the way, I was looking for end zone targets. I don't know if he scored a lot of touchdowns, but Marquise Brown had 3 seasons with 9, 13, and 13 end zone targets. I think at least 2 of those were with Baltimore. Oh, no, they were all with Baltimore.
Yeah, Marquise Brown wouldn't have fit quite as well because he had 7 touchdowns on 71 targets as a rookie and then scored 8 the next year. He came into the league only scoring touchdowns, but not from the red zone. It was from the 50.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess my point is Marquise Brown on the Ravens was a short 5'9"-ish guy who got a lot of end zone targets, which is what we'd like to see. And I think when you make these bold predictions, it's like there are so many unpredictable things in fantasy. You're just looking for players who, if things break right, they could just go bananas. Like, it just could be amazing for them. Like, they might need a break or two, but they're talented enough to capitalize on that break. Would you agree with that? That's kind of what we're hunting here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you you can't really predict it. And that's where I'm going with my Bajal Tuten bold prediction. My bold prediction is that Bajal Tuten will be a league winner. No, he did not have a very impressive rush average last year, but there are plenty of running backs who struggle as rookies. And I watched tape of him earlier this offseason. I liked him. I watched more tape yesterday, and I really like Bajal Tuten. I think he's obviously super fast, but also pretty physical. But biggest problem I have here is I also like the tape for Chris Rodriguez. And I cannot deny that Chris Rodriguez is very good at what he does. He's just very physical, doesn't lose yards a lot. He's hard to tackle. He's not going to be a game changer. Like, the difference between Tuten and Rodriguez is if one gets hurt, Tuten, I think, has league-winning potential. If Tuten gets hurt, though, I don't think Rodriguez does. He has 6 catches in his career, and he's just not an explosive player. But if things break right, if some break happens for Bajal Tuten, if there's an injury or he just outplays Chris Rodriguez and he becomes the lead back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, my bold prediction is that Bajal Tuten will be a league winner. Thoughts, Dave?
One of my favorite backfields to double up on draft day, because you can get Bajal Tuten right at that round 5-6 turn. That's where he is on CBS ADP. Chris Rodriguez can be had right around 100th overall, maybe a little bit later. And between the two of them, you should have hopefully a starting running back every single week. This is a great offense. They were very prolific under Liam Cohen last year. They've made it clear, at least at this point, that these are the two running backs that they're going to go to battle with on first and second downs. And the points you made about Tuten's film were good. I would add that 5 of his touchdowns last year came from inside the 5.
Yeah.
He had a 71% success rate inside the 5. Chris Rodriguez had 35% with Washington last year. And I cannot get it out of my head that the Commanders, for all the running back issues that they had going into the offseason, let Chris Rodriguez go when they didn't really even have to. They could have given him, I think it was a restricted tag, and they just let him walk. And he went to Jacksonville. He's got familiarity with Liam Cohen. I almost think that that's the best thing about him is that familiarity, because otherwise, you said you were impressed with the film. I thought he was okay. I don't think he's necessarily great. I think Tootin has more upside. I think everybody would see that if they watched Tootin play.
Well, you're talking about Chris Rodriguez's film?
Chris Rodriguez, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think what was impressive about him was that he doesn't go down easily. He's really tough. He's a good, rugged runner. But he's nothing like Bejel Tootin. Bejel Tootin is short. He's 5'9", but 209 pounds, and he ran a 4.32. He is a combination of speed and power.
Yes, he is.
And Rodriguez is not. I don't think it's going to be a week one thing. He's going to have to earn it, hopefully, in the first month of the season. It's going to be kind of an annoying split, I think, Dave. But Tootin, to me, is the guy that can really take the run game to the next level.
He had a 15-carry game week 11 against the Chargers. The majority of his carries came in the first three quarters. He averaged 4.9 yards per rush. It's an example of what Tootin can do when he gets into the rhythm of a game. He really didn't get that opportunity because Travis Etienne was in Jacksonville last year, and he was the one that was kind of leading the way in that backfield all year long. If Tootin gets that role, I think he can be, I don't think he'll be 4.9 yards per carry good, but I think he'll be plenty good. And I think he's got a chance to at least split the short yardage touchdown work with Chris Rodriguez, particularly because of how good he was at it last year.
Heath, any thoughts here? And I'll say, you know, one of the issues with drafting Tootin, just looking at Fantasy Pros, is he's going in the same range as Travion Henderson. I would take Tootin. Quinshon Judkins, I think I'd have to take Judkins. Bucky Irving, I could say the same exact stuff. I mean, I can't sit here and say Bucky Irving's not a league winner, potential league winner. So, you know, it's not like it's not an easy draft pick. I think you're going to be passing up similar players, and, you know, something in you is going to have to decide you want Tootin. But what do you think?
I've been probably more skeptical of Tootin, and I think the way you introduced this one's kind of strange.
Oh, in what sense? I mean, I'm
talking about like guys that we just are really talented, and if things go right, could be. I don't think we've seen very much evidence that Bejel, and we don't have that much evidence from the NFL that they think he's. I mean, I guess Jacksonville letting ETN walk is about the best evidence we have. But he was a day three running back with one kind of good college season.
Yeah,
and he has some ball security concerns, and he's probably not going to do a whole lot in the passing game. And I just don't. I think he's very similar to Bill, except Bill was a lot better as a rusher last year. They're good with the ball in their hands if they can keep the ball in their hands on rush attempts.
Okay, I guess it's just I look past the numbers personally, and I like what I see, so that's why went with
right.
Yeah. There have been, so he's RB24 right now in ADP. Over the last four seasons, how many running backs drafted as RB20 or later finished top 12 per game? In 22, we had four. The next year, we had five. The next year, we had zero. And last year, we had two, Cam Scadaboo and Javonte Williams. So that gives us 11 running backs in the last 4 years that were drafted as RB20 or later and finished top 12 per game. And six of those 11 were first or second year players. So that, I think, is kind of telling. Guys that, you know, the Javonte Williams of the world aren't the more common. The Scadaboos of the world are. Maybe Tootin can be that guy this year. All right.
One last point, if I may make it. Because Heath compared him to Kroski Merritt. Kroski Merritt had twice as many carries as Tootin. Certainly the yards per rush favored Kroski Merritt, but in EPA, they were exactly the same success rate. Tootin was better, noticeably better than Kroski Merritt. In what?
In success rate?
Yes.
The reason I was confused was not because I knew that stat for Tootin. It was because Bill led the NFL in rush success rate, but Tootin probably didn't have enough carries to qualify.
That's fair. I got to compare them based on the work that they did. Tootin had a better avoided tackle rate, but it was close. The explosion rate is really where Kroski Merritt won, and that's what he's known for, is just having that speed to break away. Does Tootin have it? Yeah. Do we see it as much? No, because he had half as many carries, And so I am very curious to see what happens if Tootin does get in the neighborhood of 13 carries a week, throw a catch on top of that. If that's how he starts the season and he takes off, he's going to be the featured back in Jacksonville and a must-start fantasy running back.
Okay. Here, oh, he wasn't his offensive coordinator. Never mind. I was going to say, 2023, there was a running back who averaged 3.6 yards per carry as a rookie, just as Bajal Tootin did, was RB25 in ADP. Tootin's 24 right now, and finished as RB10 per game, and it was Rashad White. But that was not a Liam Cohen year as his offensive coordinator.
What year? 2023?
Yeah.
That was Canales.
Okay, let's take a break, and I've got one more bold prediction for you when we come back on Fantasy Football Today, and then we'll read yours after that. We'll be right back. We've got another Detroit Lions bold prediction. Here it is. Jahmyr Gibbs will average the second most PPR fantasy points per game of any running back in the last 10 years. He'll be better than everyone other than 2019 Christian McCaffrey, who averaged 29.3 points per game. McCaffrey then averaged 30 points per game the next year, something like that, but that was only three games. So Jahmyr Gibbs is about to have the second best running back season of the last decade. And obviously this is a bold prediction. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but I could see it because the setup is so good. Over the last 3 years, the Lions are second, first, and fifth in running back carries. Second, first, and 14th in running back goal line carries. They are third, first, and first in running back PPR fantasy points per game. Jahmyr Gibbs has been amazing over the last 3 years without being the goal line back. David Montgomery has the second most goal line carries in the NFL over the last three seasons. Well, he's gone now, and Jahmyr Gibbs has scored on 70% of his goal line carries, which is really, really high and won't continue, but he's very good there. Dan Campbell said that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be the bell cow, and then let's take a look at this graphic here. It's a little confusing. I'll have to explain some of it to you, but the gist is Jahmyr Gibbs is amazing on a per-touch basis. PPR fantasy points per touch. Since he entered the league, Jahmyr Gibbs at 1.14, Devon Achane at 1.14. Gibbs is technically a little bit ahead of Achane in terms of decimals, but those two guys are the best. I put Priest Holmes, his best three-season stretch on here, and Jahmyr Gibbs is a little bit better than Priest Holmes was. I put LaDainian Tomlinson, a six-season stretch for him from 2002 to 2007, and Jahmyr Gibbs on a per-touch basis is much better than LaDainian Tomlinson was. He's also better than Bijan Robinson and Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley have been, and if you're looking at this graphic, Christian McCaffrey is just behind Gibbs and Achane. Those three seasons, though, I eliminated 2024, so I went with 2022, 3 and 5 for him. But the bottom line is, you have got the most efficient running back on a per-touch basis who just lost David Montgomery. He's on the best offense over the last 3 years to produce running back fantasy points. It couldn't be a better setup for a break-your-league, you-won-because-you-have-Jahmyr-Gibbs type of season. So my bold prediction is that he is basically going to be LaDainian Tomlinson and be incredible.
So you're taking him first overall.
Yeah, I am taking him first overall.
It's a good choice.
It's bold.
I was a Jamar Chase, but then I just thought, I was like, no, it's
if you were if you were in an auction draft, would you spend 40% of your budget on Jahmyr Gibbs
no.
in a full PPR?
No, I like, wouldn't.
Is it going to be worth that much?
I mean, look, if my bold prediction comes true, then sure. But I don't think
if your bold prediction comes true, he's probably worth 60.
Right. Maybe.
Absolutely.
When I first ran my calculations, and I've only got him projected for like 20 more fantasy points than any other non-QB. I love this bold prediction. But when I first ran kind of my auction values, I came up with him at 39. So
out of 100.
Out of 100. So I guess I'll get Jahmyr Gibbs in the auction league.
Okay, well, maybe I'll go 39.5, 39.50. I'm not in the auction league. Don't worry about it.
Bobby?
Is he number one for Heath? Dave, is he number one for you?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about him versus Bijan last week, and I do think I said that I cannot put an argument on paper of why to take Bijan over Gibbs. It doesn't mean that I don't think Bijan could outscore him, but I think some of the comments that we got were like, Bijan's a lot bigger. He's more suited for the every down role. That's the only thing that concerns me with Gibbs is his body going to let him be a bell cow? I don't have that concern with Bijan Robinson. So I could see that getting in his way. Other than that, I don't think anything's getting in his way.
You know, what probably could determine it is which of Sam Laporta or Kyle Pitts gets the most of a coordinator boost. Because I think Dave's talked about this a lot. Like, a lot of times there's a negative relationship between tight end targets and running back targets. And it could be that I've kind of wondered if maybe they use Gibbs just a little bit less in the passing game. And he doesn't share rush attempts near as much as he has in the past, which would probably be bad for his fantasy points per touch, but not for his touchdowns and total fantasy points.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs had a 21.2% target share without Laporta and a 13.3% target share with Laporta.
Yeah.
I mean, huge difference. So that's I wouldn't really call that a concern. I mean, I think he'll be involved enough in the passing game. I'll take the over on 13.3%, but yeah, it changed his season last year for sure. I mean, he was great, but he was greater after the Laporta injury. Okay. Let's see what the audience has to say. Some bold predictions from the people. Gridiron Gamers got a lot of them. Wandale Robinson will finish the year with more targets and yards than Carnell Tate.
I like it.
I don't.
I agree with the targets and disagree with the yards.
Exactly where I was going. Yeah. Who will have more fantasy points?
I'll tell you.
I would draft Tate first.
Oh my God, this is so bold. From Wisco Disco. This better include like 6 special teams touchdowns. Rashid Shaheed will lead Seattle in touchdowns.
Ooh. That's bold.
Yeah.
I see it. Yeah.
I mean, JSN gets hurt week one. I don't even want to say that. What am I doing?
Did you know that? I'm 95% sure the stat is correct. Sam Darnold had the best yards per attempt on deep balls, 20 or more air yards last year.
Sounds familiar.
I mean, I know it was better than Drake May because I remember looking it up for the Super Bowl. So that should help Rashid Shaheed if he could do that again.
Yeah, he's not going to do that again.
Yeah,
I think that'll be part of what they asked Shaheed to do, but I think they're trying to change his role,
yeah,
at least based on what we're reading about, and they just paid him a lot of money. So he should see an uptick. He should see some of the best volume he's ever had in his career. But it's a matter of, well, I mean, scoring more than Jackson Smith and Jigba seems crazy. Jason's going to have to win Powerball in order for that to happen. But you should absolutely consider drafting Rashid Shaheed with a late pick. Nothing wrong with that at all.
All right, next up is from JC Reyes. Ashton Jeanty will disappoint and finish below top 12 at running back. Isaiah Likely finishes top 5. We already covered that one. We have him top 4 as a bold prediction. Jordan Tyson and Mekhi Lemon will finish higher than Carnell Tate.
Could see all those things.
What's the most likely, no pun intended, of this? Jeanty will disappoint. We got to make it a little bit more bold than top 12, I think. Like, let's say top 16. 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's 12th in my projections. So that's definitely the most likely of his bold predictions.
Jeanty.
I think he was 14th among running backs last year on a per-game basis. Double checking. Where is he? 16th. My bad. Could he be worse than that? I think that would be a bold prediction.
I think likely finishes top 5 is the boldest.
Yes.
All right, George Helani will outscore Jadarian Price in fantasy this year from Trey.
Ooh, gross. Really gross.
Yeah.
Do you guys like Price or Tootin, since you just had your Tootin one?
Tootin.
I'm on Tootin.
Bold prediction from Eddie. Adam will win at least one set in his next tennis match against Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel decent about it. We'll see.
I think you're going to win the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't, but there's like one shot that I need to get better at, and I feel like I can, because he always hits the ball to my backhand, and then he comes in. I have to get better at my backhand lob. If I can get better at my backhand lob, I can beat him. So I'll be working on that. You should all know I have Achilles tendonitis, and I haven't played in 2 weeks. hoping to get back out there next week, but I am injured, so I wouldn't put too much on me. Gridiron Gamer says Cam Ward finishes as a top 12 quarterback.
I like it.
Yeah, it's within the realm of possibility. I don't see it. It's a tough position to crack the top 12 in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really see it either, but the fact that they are encouraging Cam Ward to rush more, as Gridiron Gamer points out, is encouraging.
I mean, it just kind of depends on, are we talking full season or are we talking per game?
Everyone plays 17 games, so.
Everyone plays 17 Both. Games. What's that?
Both, yeah. Per game and, okay. and overall. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough.
12 last year was 21.1. That's not that outlandish.
Yeah. It's just, I'm sure you probably feel like there are going to be 12 quarterbacks who can do that. But you're right. It's not crazy for him to average 21 points per game. Jordan Tyson is a top 5 wide receiver from Ben Seth.
That's pretty insane unless Chris Olave is not okay.
It's wild.
It's true.
And finally, from
Tyson's
Brian.
Tyson's going to have to stay okay. Remember, Tyson isn't at 100% right now either.
From Brian, Jaden Daniels regains his form and outscores Drake May.
I don't see it. I think May's proven to be a pretty good quarterback, and now he's getting A.J. Brown.
I would not. I've got them separated by 2 points in my projections for the full season. Wow. So
yeah, if I did projections, it would be more than that. Adam, what was the stat you were looking for on Sam Darnold?
Highest yards per attempt on pass attempts of 20 more air yards.
He was actually second. He had 8.5. That's really good. You know who first was?
Matthew Drake Stafford.
Timely.
Matthew Stafford.
Drake May.
No.
8.9 yards per attempt.
You sure? Passes are-
No, I'm not sure. Son of a... Sorry. Salty language.
Because I remember looking that up going into the Super Bowl, and I was like, oh, even the best thing about the Patriots offense, Sam Darnold has done better than Drake May this year.
Darnold was first, 18.5. Drake May was fourth, 15.6. I didn't have the filter on air yards.
There you go.
Overall for the season, though, Drake May first in yards per attempt. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, yes, it is. Okay, is that it? I think that's it, right?
Please, I don't want to mess up another stat.
All good. So tomorrow, back to 10 a.m., and we'll see you then. For Dave and Heath, I'm Adam. I want to thank all of you for your participation in today's show. That was awesome stuff. And we'll see you later. Have a good one. Podcasts.